Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
An Erios production.
Menopause is coming and the men have all left town, but I'm not giving up until I see that baby crown. 39 and single, can someone help me out? He could be bald and bearded, short or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay to straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite. I just need sperm.
Hey, hey, everybody! Thank you to my latest Patreon subscribers, Emily F., Amanda, Hannah M., Jordana M., and thank you to my other patrons who raised their pledges, April, Kelsey, Elizabeth E., Susan F., Jenny L., Chaz H., Jenny N., Sarah D., Julia L., Laura V., and Bridget C. Oh my goodness! We are now at $838 per month, and we came so close to getting to my goal of $850 per month that I feel like this is a big win. So thank you all so much to all of my subscribers for keeping this show up and running. I would not be able to continue to make this show without you. If you haven't yet joined the Patreon, you can still do that at patreon.com/spermcast, and you'll have access to all kinds of fun, exclusive stuff. If you hate Patreon, you can always support the show financially by Venmoing Molly-Hawkey. And now for an update. When I left you last week, I had just gotten my nitrogen tank recharged and I was waiting patiently for ovulation. And I was feeling optimistic that I would ovulate at some point, that I hadn't already missed it, or that I was going to skip it this cycle. Well, the tests kept reading negative for a couple more days. I was using those digital tests that only show you an empty circle, which means negative, or a happy face, which means positive. You know, that your LH is surging and that you'll ovulate 12 to 36 hours later. But when you eject those pee sticks from the digital reader, you can see the same control and test lines that you see on those simple, cheap tests. So I was keeping an eye on those as well. On Tuesday night, even though my tests were still saying negative, I felt like the test line was getting a little bit darker. On Wednesday morning, voila! I saw my happy face. But when I took the stick out, I didn't think that the test line looked as dark as the control, so I had my questions. Was the surge really happening? A few hours later, I tested again, and when I popped out the stick, there is what I wanted to see. The test line was darker than the control line. But now I was confused. The plan was to inseminate 24 hours after my positive test. But was my positive test at 8:30 a.m. when I took the first one, or was it at 12:30 p.m. when I took the second one? I called up Jacqueline, the certified nurse midwife who I had on the show a few weeks back. And she said to ignore the sticks altogether, that I should only go by my first smiley face, a.k.a. my first positive reading. So that's what I did. The first positive reading was at 8:30 a.m., and so I decided I would do the insemination about 24, 26 hours later. I wasn't going to rush it the next morning. Now, don't forget, I was also taking my basal body temperature with OvuSense this whole time, and I was so relieved each morning when I woke up and I could see that my temperature had not gone up yet, which would, again, indicate that I had ovulated. Well, the next morning, 24 hours after my test, I looked at the temperature, and the temperature had started to rise. It went from 96.88 on the morning of my positive test to 97.26 24 hours later. This was the steepest rise in temperature I'd seen my whole cycle. So this was real. This was no anomaly. It was time to get going. I came downstairs where my folks were having coffee in their jammies and their robes, and I said, "It's time."
So this is the tank.
This is the tank, and I'm going to, I guess I don't need to pull it out of the box. I was going to pull it out of the box, but I don't need to.
What did the woman do the other day?
Well, she lifted off the top.
Uh-huh.
So I guess I'll show it to you, Papa.
The tank came in a big box with the opening of the tank exposed, so I just left it in the box. But there was a zip tie holding the cap on, which made it impossible to get into.
So many impediments to getting pregnant. This shouldn't be one of them.
Right.
How about a mat knife?
Do you have one handy?
The mat knife worked.
The hardest part is now done.
I'm opening the tank.
Oh, we have smoke. That's good.
Oh, yes.
Where would he be? Still in there?
Why did you say he?
Then I carefully remove the hook that the vial is attached to.
My God.
There he is.
Oh, it looks just like you. That's amazing.
So now what?
Thawing the vial. Please thaw the vial in an 86 to 99 water bath for 10 minutes. Place Kleenex or towel around the lid of the vial when opening it as pressure may be released. Handling the syringe. Break the seal on the syringe by pulling back the plunger to 0.5 milliliters, then return to starting position with no air in syringe present. Once the vial is thawed, place the syringe directly into the vial and pull back the plunger to fill the syringe with the entire contents of the vial.
Okay, so we prepared the water. We decided 99 was way too hot because that would make the sperm die, potentially. So we kept it at around 90. Then we pulled the sperm back out of the tank.
Hello.
Okay.
What a mechanism.
Hi, guy.
I wonder how far out this comes.
Welcome to our house.
Wow.
It's getting cold.
Your hands feel cold?
I was wearing warm wool gloves with garden gloves on top.
Whoa. Hi. Hello, little guy.
Then I put the bottom of the vial in the warm water, but only up to a certain point because you don't want it to get to the height of where the cap meets the vial because then the water could seep in and kill the sperm.
Okay.
That's it. Good. 10 minutes.
Start the clock.
How will you know when it's thawed?
Because it'll be 10 minutes.
Then I gave my dad a lesson all about sperm.
This is washed sperm, which means that there's no semen. It's taken all the semen away, which is where, you know, all the protein and the juice, the sugars that carry the sperm. They've taken it all away and replaced it with probably a solution.
Oh.
It's been a while since I actually looked into sperm washing, so here's what the old internet says. Wikipedia, to be precise. Sperm washing is the process in which individual sperms are separated from the semen. Yes, we knew that. But sperm washing involves removing any mucus and non-motile sperm in the semen to improve the chances of fertilization and to extract certain disease-carrying material in the semen.
So it's just about 20 million sperm in a small volume.
After just a couple minutes, I could see that the sperm was pretty much thawed. And then I decided to tell my dad why the sperm needs to be at a lower temperature.
I was just going to say the testicles are on the outside of the body because it keeps them cooler than regular body temperature.
Right.
But then when you, this might be TMI for you, but when the man is going to ejaculate, the balls get closer to the body to warm up the sperm.
They do.
To heat it up so that it's more active when it enters the body. You know that?
I didn't.
Once the sperm is inside the vagina, the pH of the vagina is actually it's too acidic for the sperm to live longer than 5 to 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So anything that doesn't make it through the cervix, through that barrier, dies anyway. So mom wants me to lie in bed for an hour.
Absolutely.
Even though...
As Nana says, give that kid something to hold on to.
Yeah. But if it doesn't make it into the cervix in 5 or 10 minutes, it's gonna die anyway. So there's no reason to lie in bed for longer than 5 or 10 minutes, but I'm going to.
Then I pulled the vial of sperm out of the warm tub, and I asked my dad if he wanted to hold him.
Yeah.
Gentle. Don't drop him.
It's a little baby Buchanan.
Can you go a little further?
Hi, Buchanan. He's smiling. Look,
he's smiling.
Buchanan, I love you.
Where did you come up with that name?
It just came, but it's a good name, right?
Then I prepared the syringe.
I'm going to draw back to break the seal, then push that out.
Get rid of it. Yeah.
It said to wrap the top because there could be a... Ooh. It doesn't feel tight. Oh, my God. I hope we didn't lose any.
It didn't. You didn't listen.
Oh, my God. Why isn't it tight?
I continued to unscrew the vial. Then I put the tip of the syringe into the semen. Then I began to draw the semen into the syringe.
Yay. Actually, there's more than I thought there would be.
It's as much as I can get out of that little guy. Did you get a pick? Sorry.
Then I made a very sick and very immature joke, which I think is the same dumb joke I made after I did my first insemination with Zach.
I was just going to put it in my mouth. I'm sorry. As a joke. I didn't do it, though.
You were going to?
As a joke.
Oh.
That would have been insane.
Is it in there now?
Yeah. I'm just trying to get the bubbles to the top.
Yep, bubble going up. Oop, there she goes.
Yeah, I'll work on the rest on my own.
Yeah.
We're not gonna be there?
No.
Hey, Mom, get to it.
Okay. Great.
Will it take a long time?
Have fun.
Well, I'm just gonna go to sleep, I think. Because I woke up too early because I couldn't stop thinking about this.
Yeah.
So I might take a nap.
Is there enough left for...
for what? For you?
For a second.
A second hit?
There's nothing left.
It's just a... Look, that's it. And bye. Bye, Molly.
Bye.
So that's how you make a baby, dear.
I'll be darned.
And that was that. I don't know why I was trying to torture my dad so much, but he was a real trooper. So then I went upstairs and I got down to business. Back when I was doing my inseminations last year, I would say it was best to try to have an orgasm after an insemination, but there was no way in hell I was going to attempt anything like that in my parents' home. So I listened to some chill music and I fell asleep. It was relatively easy, probably pointless, don't expect a miracle, but it definitely gave me some purpose and got me excited about trying to make a baby again. And now I wait. I've gotten pretty good at the 2-week wait. My technique? Ignore it. There's no point in wondering. I'll test when I test. Maybe I'll know by the time I record the next episode, or maybe the one after that if I haven't tested yet. Of course, if you're a Patreon subscriber, I will tell you first. Oh, speaking of Patreon, the whole video of my parents and the tank and all of that stuff, that's on the Patreon at the $5 level. Okay, I think it's time to start our interview for this week. This is Jordana Molek. Actually, I didn't ask how to pronounce her last name. Maybe it's Molek. Maybe it's Malik. No, it's probably Molek. Okay. Anyway, we'd never met before, but we have a bunch of mutual friends, and she's been listening to the podcast for a while. She's also a producer and recently produced a movie that some of my friends wrote and another one of them co-produced. It's called Lovebirds, and we're going to hear all about it in just a little while. Anywho, she messaged me because we have some similarities in our stories.
Yeah, I mean, for a long time, like when I was just starting my journey, everybody was like, you need to listen to my friend Molly's podcast. Oh. And like, do you know Molly? Like everyone would be like, do you know Molly, right? You know Molly. And I was in this phase at the beginning where I was like very, you know, like you, I feel like I have a lot of friends and my own community. And I was getting annoyed with people that were like, here's this one other single person that's like in comedy that also.
I wouldn't listen to my podcast if I heard it. I'd be pissed off. I'd be like, bitch, jealous.
I was just like, I'm not ready for those things. And then like as things went, I switched and I was like, all information.
Oh,
and then
yeah.
I started listening and I binged like you had already been doing it for like a year.
Yeah.
And so I binged and I almost started to not like emulate your journey, but I was like, maybe I'll interview people for myself. Maybe like I started with like the same thing. And I think a lot of people start with being like, maybe I'll do this with a friend. Maybe I'll, you know, and it gets complicated. And then you switch to.
Yeah.
Unknown.
Yeah, that's a step people could just decide to skip.
Yeah.
Those are smart people. Not that it was a bad choice to start. For me, it was necessary for me to explore all of that to sort of get to know what was going on in men's heads and I don't know, and my own head.
Someone told me this when I made the switch over, like some of my friends that had like a lesbian couple and they were like, you know, we went through that route too. And then we realized that we were doing all of this just to have like a cute birth story for our kid.
Yeah.
They were like, and they have a kid that's great that they had with an unknown donor. Uh-huh. And they were like, it's not about like that matters so little once you get to the next phase of it. Yeah. Like, and you have many months of being pregnant or going through this process to think of whatever you want your cute birthing story to be. And it doesn't need to be like, this has been my friend for 20 years. And then I asked him, you know, like it just matters less. So I kind of took a while to get to that place. And
yeah, that's the thing. It just takes a while to get used to or to accept that it's not going to be what you pictured.
Right. Yeah. Every part of it. And you know, I have parents that have been together for almost 50 years and my older brother and my little sister are both married with kids. And I always knew that I was going to have kids later. Like I never wanted, I knew I've been very career driven my whole life. And I've never been a person that's felt lonely because I have so many friends and such a great community. So I always knew that it was going to be not like I'm 30 and I'm having kids. I always knew it was going to be close to 40 in some ways. But I think you still take, it takes a while to be like, oh, now I'm single and I have to like make a decision to do this. And it's weird to date, all those things. Like,
yeah.
What do I tell people? Do I tell them like you make the switch from being like, whatever, I don't need to have kids right now to being like, I'm going to do this really soon. And that's not sexy on a first date at a bar and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, wait, I want to start back when you said you froze your eggs when you were 35.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, and you're about to be 40, you know, in a couple weeks in quarantine.
In quarantine.
Are you solo quarantine?
I'm so over quarantine.
Oh, I meant, like, I said solo, but so over.
Oh, solo. I'm solo quarantine, but I have a very large front yard that you don't need to touch anything to get, like you can get to it just from the street. Mm-hmm. So I am solo quarantine, but I'm very, I found a way to be very social distancing. Yeah. So I feel lucky. I have like friends that come over a lot and sometimes people just work in my yard and I have rules where it's like one family unit at a time and, and you have to bring your own drink or food.
Oh,
and,
that's so cool. You know. Where do you live?
I live in Silver Lake.
Oh, cool. Well, when I come back, can I hang out in your yard?
Yeah, you can come to my yard. Yeah, bring a picnic blanket. I just got a big projector and a big screen because I'm going to throw myself a Lovebirds premiere.
Oh, my gosh. Can we talk about Lovebirds for a second?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Tell my listeners what Lovebirds is.
Lovebirds is a movie that is a comedy with Kumail Nanjiani and Issa Rae. And it comes out on Netflix on May 22nd.
The day before your birthday.
Day before my birthday. And maybe the day that I'm doing a retrieval.
Unbelievable. I mean,
Spoiler alert. We'll see. I don't know if I'm there yet, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my producing partner, I have a company with Michael Showalter who directed it.
Oh, awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. We're producing partners. We have a company called Semi-Formal Productions.
Okay.
And yeah, it was supposed to come out in theaters everywhere on April 3rd. And it was supposed to premiere at South by Southwest.
Oh my God.
And then the world changed. And it was so weird because you would drive around the city and there were these billboards and posters that said coming soon to a theater near you, April 3rd. And it just like, then it became April 4th and April 5th. It was so strange, but we're very lucky that we have a, like what I like to call the best case scenario and a worst case scenario, which is like a great home in Netflix and lots of people will get to see it and it's very fun. And so,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So, okay. You're going to throw a screening for yourself for your birthday. Will you invite anybody to sit 6 feet away?
I'm waiting to see what things look like in a couple of weeks, you know, like, can I invite 4 people to my yard? Can I invite 7 people?
Right.
It's a big yard. So we can, no one needs to touch each other, but I'm just, or do I do screenings all throughout my birthday weekend? And just completely self-promotion? Oh no, I'm not going to do that, but I'm going to figure it out.
No, you should. There's nothing wrong with self-promotion.
Yeah, no, that's true. There isn't. I just figured I would like find a reason to put on clothes and sit in my yard with a couple of friends and watch my movie. Yeah.
That's great. And so anybody can find it on Netflix on May 22nd.
May 22nd.
Okay, perfect. So then let's start back when you were 34, 35. How did you decide to freeze your eggs?
Like I said, I kind of always knew that I wanted kids at some point. And I was like never really dating the right guys because I wasn't ever dating to be, you know, like obsessively want to like settle down or anything like that. And so I asked my parents for my 35th birthday if they would help me freeze my eggs. And I knew that it was just – I just did it because I wanted the option. I didn't want to think about – I was kind of like started – like I had made this movie, Hello, My Name is Doris. And I knew it was kind of really – like my career was really starting to flourish as a producer. So I froze my eggs and it was really, I didn't have, I had a couple of friends that same year maybe had done it, but I didn't know a lot of people that did it.
I was going to say, I don't think it was really in the zeitgeist back then.
No.
When I did it, it was like, it felt a little like I'm doing something kind of new agey.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could do it long ago, but yeah, it wasn't something everyone was doing.
No, I had a friend who had just done it like a few months before me and she definitely helped guide me through a little bit. But yeah, I went to the same doctor as her, you know, and I didn't even research other people at that time and didn't know what I was getting into. And I was lucky. I had a lot of, you know, I had a lot of eggs that froze and I felt really comforted.
What'd you get?
I think I got 19.
Oh,
that froze,
yes.
Like 22 that they got. Yeah.
Oh,
it was like
good.
A good number.
Yeah.
And I responded, you know, well to it. I had a little hyperstimulation just because I had a lot of follicles. Uh-huh. But it was really just for me, some of it was about knowing about my fertility. Like I, as you know, I said, I kind of had a traditional upbringing and I no one in my family was adopted. And I wanted to, if that was going to be my journey, I knew I needed some time to wrap my head around it.
Yeah.
So I kind of just like wanted information and I was really nervous and it ended up working out. But it ended up working out, but like many months weren't the right month because I was like in production or had a film festival or had a cyst or like something. So I knew it wasn't like, oh, it's so easy and I can just do this whenever I want to do it. And so, you know, so I did that then. And because my goal was to do it before I turned 35 and like in the process, I turned 35, much as like is happening right now with like the goal of doing it before 40. And it's like the process.
We don't know about that next goal yet.
Yeah, we don't know about the next goal yet. So, yeah, I froze my eggs. I like a couple months after had met my ex-boyfriend my boyfriend at the time. Who I was with for a couple of years and he was a little bit older than me and had a son. And after we'd been dating for a little while was like, he knew I froze my eggs and knew I wanted kids. And this is like not an angry thing at all, but it was like, he was like, I don't think I can do this again. And so we broke up. And I think for me, I was like, it was very sad, but I also was like, this isn't the way it's going to go. And this isn't what's meant to be. And also I didn't feel a lot of my friends were like, don't you feel like you wasted time? Like you want to be, and I wasn't like during the time we were together, I wasn't ready to have a baby yet. So it wasn't like conversation that, you know, was like so clear every single day. It was just something that I eventually wanted and kind of had to make the decision of that this can't, you know, that I couldn't stay in a relationship that wasn't going to go there.
Did you specifically break it off because of that reason?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
smart. I mean, great. Good for you.
Yeah. I mean, looking back, it wouldn't have been right for many other reasons.
Good for you. And how old were you?
I must have been like 37 and a half. You know, I gave myself, I'm a very goal-oriented and like productive person. So the second that we like broke up, I was like, okay, I have to be single again. So I need to like, you know, lose the happy weight that I gained in this relationship. I like go on runs. I need to be healthy. I need to spend like 3 months taking care of myself before I like can go back on like the apps and do the dating thing again. And I said I was going to give myself a year before I made decisions on baby stuff.
Yes.
And then I think probably when I turned like 38, sometime around there, maybe a year and a half or so ago, I was like, I want to do this soon. And I had,
But at this time, were you thinking you were going to meet a guy and do this soon or?
Yeah. I mean, I think that I kind of gave myself the year being like, we'll see what happens. And I think I still had it in the back of my brain that like maybe that was something, but I knew that keeping both things in my brain was not gonna, like, I was gonna have to make a decision,
right?
And not just be like, well, maybe I'll wait a few more months and keep going on like two dates with each person that I'm not feeling chemistry with and
right.
like trying to make it work, or you know, or feeling guilty that I'm attracted to someone that's like doesn't ever want kids or, you know, all these things. I'm like, this isn't falling into my lap. And I'm a person that's like very comfortable single. So I wasn't, again, it was the same thing of like, I want to meet the right person, but when maybe that's supposed to happen after I start my family. And so, so then I started thinking about doing it myself. And I went back to the doctor to like make a fertility plan. And had found out that I knew that there was something wrong, but I had this fibroid. In a lot of women have fibroids. It's like, I think it's something like 80% of women in their and it might, again, you should check.
I haven't done a bloop in a long time.
Do a little one.
I don't think I did
things.
Any last week. Okay. According to Medscape, uterine fibroids, myomas or leiomyomas are benign monoclonal tumors of the smooth muscle cells found in the human uterus. And then there's this whole long study that I would never be able to summarize for you, but at the very end of it, there's something that says tweetable abstract, and it says, uterine fibroids occur in about 70% of women. Black race and 11 other factors affect uterine fibroid risk. Interesting.
Yeah, but it's a high percentage of women that are in childbearing years, especially in your 30s, that have fibroids, but most of them, like, you wouldn't even know. They can be anywhere, and this one just happened to be in that place that makes it so that, like, I wouldn't have been able to implant and then also probably carry a child to term unless I had it removed.
And how big was it?
Is the size of a softball, which
Damn.
Is like you're walking around, not even, you know, I knew because I had really bad heavy periods, which was what mine caused. Some people's caused like pain or like bladder things. And mine was just like, I had this really heavy period that like, I felt like no one could understand because I was it would ruin my life. I couldn't sit through a screening or like a meeting. And, that they recommended that I get it out if I wanted to do that. So I made every appointment, you know, I just like went straight. It was like another goal. And I also am very glass half full. So in my brain, I was like, okay, this is going to set me back a few months, but maybe it's because I'm supposed to meet my person, or maybe like this work thing should be happening now and it's going to be fine. It's going to be fine. So,
well, you know, I have to say, you know, what could have happened if you'd stayed with Fella and he wanted to have a kid, you guys could have tried to have a baby for a year and you might not have gotten pregnant.
It's true. It's totally true.
So the fact that you decided to go the single mother route is the reason that you found that fibroid. So you've saved time.
That's true.
By doing that. That's
look at you. Your glass is like not even half full. It's like. Three-quarters of the way.
Oh, it runneth over, girl. It runneth over.
Exactly. So,
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So in October, I had just like laparoscopically it removed. And it's like, as like it wasn't a totally fun surgery, but you heal really fast. Everything is like totally fine. Like, periods all of a sudden are like a normal person's, and it's like a great for that reason too. And they say after you do it, you have to have a kid via C-section after. So there were like little things along the way, which I'm sure in your journey that you're just like very quickly have to mourn. Like, not that I'm the daughter of a doctor. Like, my dad's a retired surgeon. I was like, not going to have a natural childbirth, I'm sure, at the end. But I wanted like the image of having, like, being a California, like, bohemian that has a natural childbirth. And like, you know, my friends who work at Moon Juice was going to be my doula, and it was going to be like this whole thing. And very quickly you're like, oh, never mind. I'm like having to get cut open. That's whatever. It's fine. But for a moment it was like, oh, okay. Like, this, that's so crazy.
And I think, so, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I think that moment of, or that the word that you used, mourn, I think we've talked about it on the podcast before, but like, it's all these little things that you kind of have to mourn and let go. And that's not, it's really not the way it's going to be.
Yeah, true. And you'd like all the things, like the not traditional way of having a family, the, like, you know, having to take hormone, like just all those things. Yeah. So that happened, and I had the surgery. And then afterwards, you have to, like, it's debatable, but gynecologists usually say to wait like up to 6 months for your uterus to heal. But the fertility doctors say like 2 to 3 months, because they're more worried about that eggs aging, and the fertility doctor is more worried about your uterus rupturing if you do get pregnant. So,
oh my God.
So after like a, you know, I don't know, this was October. So then I think I waited until the new year in January, and then I went to go see Dr. Chung. I switched doctors.
Oh, that's when you switched?
I switched to her like in, as soon as I was healing. And
what made you switch?
Why did I switch?
Yeah, what made you switch?
I was frustrated with the, like, there was some communication with the fibroid situation, and my other doctor. There were just some, like, I felt like I was getting charged for every phone call, and that I, like, didn't get the information for months, like, for an extra month, and a lot of time was wasted for something that you're spending so much money out of pocket to do. So I just had enough friends that went to Dr. Chung. And they were all like, just try her. She's great. She's great.
So lovely.
So I went to Dr. Chung. I think it was in January. Mm-hmm. We made a plan. And the plan was to do IUIs. Like, she wanted me to do 3 of them before doing anything else. Because, as she said, we have no reason to believe that you're not fertile. Like, my AMH is really good. My levels of hormones are all really good. I have a lot of follicles. So she was like, we should just do IUIs. There's no reason that you wouldn't get pregnant that way. It's less invasive. And a lot of friends that I'd talked to had gone through a lot of IUIs and were like, no, you should just do IVF. It's like, it will save you time. And then you know that you're implanting a healthy embryo. And, you know, and I did think about, as a single woman, like, do I want to go through numerous miscarriages alone, like without, like with me being the person that cares the most about this, like, is that going to be hard? So, and I want a girl, like, there were like things that I was, maybe I'll do it. Like, maybe I'll just do IVF and just know. But I talked to Dr. Chung about it, and she's like, I still think that this is, there's no reason to put your body through that. If you, you know, like, let us at least try IUI. And so I was like, okay, I will try in March and I'll try in April, and then maybe I'll take May off, or maybe I'll do May, but we'll see. And then by June, I'll do IVF. And she had checked me and saw that, like, my uterus, everything looked good. I was all healed. It was like good to go whenever I was ready to go. I just had to still figure out the sperm situation, which I hadn't yet decided if I was like going with a friend or anything like that. And then I did have some conversations with, like, close guy friends. And it kind of came down to being like, none of these guys are really, they're amazing and they all love me, and none of them are going to be okay, like, not actually being the father. Like, if they, you know, like, if they actually threw it, they wouldn't just, you know, do that. And I'd rather have these, like, 10 guys as great godfathers to my kid than be in a situation where it ever gets complicated with that. So I eventually got there, and then I, like, was lucky enough to have my Sundance, I was a mentor for the Sundance Lab, my mentee's girlfriend's stepmother runs the California Cryobank.
Wow.
Crazy, weird connection. So she put me in touch with this woman who was like the most amazing. And she like talked me through like for an hour and a half on a Sunday on the phone, just like what everything looks like. And my whole thing was that I was so scared that my kid would have so many siblings, and like science says that like you're attracted to people that look like you. And I'm like, what if my kid falls in love with their half sibling? Like I just went there. I just would spin out on it, and had like luckily several friends that had gone through having donors that I just got there eventually. I had like a few friends.
What did
over
she
there.
Say about the amount of half siblings?
She said that they do up to like 20 families, and like you just have to be at peace with it, and you can like get all the information you want. And I had friends that were like, you don't, I just was like, I have a great community, and I'm not sure if I want, no offense to people that do this, because I'm sure it's magical and I might change my mind when I get to this place. But I just like the idea of like having like barbecues with like siblings and all their families, it just like sounded sad to me. I just couldn't get there. And I was like,
I want to do that. I totally want to do that.
Totally. And I bet I will, but
I worry that I'm not going to like any of the other parents.
Yeah, I know. And it's like, I just like wasn't ready for it. It's like weird. What if their kids are like better looking than my kid? And I'm like, this is weird. Like it just felt too weird at the time. And I had like friends that were like, you can be a part of that or you can not. It's not a big deal. And granted, most of my friends that were like lesbians that were having these conversations with me. So I was like, well, it's a little bit different because your kid still has two parents and like there's less questions. Like, because it's like, of course you did this and you've been prepared to do this for a long time. And I spent many years knowing this traditional way and have to change everything in my brain. So it was like, I didn't see this happening. I have to prepare myself mentally. And so I had like a few friends over. We like smoked some pot and drank some wine. And like, and so they helped me, and I picked a donor, and I just like never, I was like, I never want to think about it or talk about it again. It's fine. So I did that. And by the way, I'm really glad I did it when I did, because I was helping another friend who was also needing to pick a donor. And there's so few, like everybody's low emissions because no one can donate right now.
Yeah.
There's like a lot of, it's kind of slim pickings, like until this lifts, you know.
It's very true. Oh, boy. Yeah.
I know, which I never thought of, but until I looked with a friend. But So then I was getting ready to start in March. I had been in production on a pilot in Las Vegas, like at the beginning of March. And I was supposed to, you know, I usually get my period like around the like 12th or something like that. So I was kind of like, that's going to be the first time that I try. We'll be like end of March. And my whole family was coming to visit. There was just a lot of things that like, do South by, and then I would be back, and I thought it could time right.
Yeah.
And my brother, who's a professor of innovation and entrepreneurship at Wharton, he's very smart.
Wow.
He was starting to like help epidemiologists and infectious disease doctors like gather information on COVID and like create a database so that they could start, like he studies trends and in data and stuff. So he had called me before I left for Vegas and my sister, and he was like, hey, there's this thing and it's real. Get toilet paper was basically like what he said.
Wow.
For, you know, emergency. And I'm never great at having like an emergency food box because I like eat the granola bars and drink the water when I run out of food. So I was like, how am I going to even prepare for this? So he had mentioned it and he had told me. And then when I got back on my flight back from shooting in Vegas, more people were starting to wear masks. Like it was starting to like be something people were talking about. And then it felt like it was so fast. And so I got my period and I called the fertility doctor's office and I was like, feeling really mixed. And my brother was like, I think you should wait. I think you should just wait a couple of months. Like, one of the biggest concerns is that the hospitals are going to become overwhelmed. You, if you were to have a atopic pregnancy or need something medically assisted, why are you going to choose to put yourself in a compromised immune system during this time? And so I called and I asked the nurse and they're like, no, we're still, you know, we'll make an appointment for the morning, which I did because I wasn't sure what I was going to do yet. And I asked the nurse and she's like, that's your decision. We're still up and running. And then like 2 days later, it just, everything kind of shut down. So didn't end up doing it.
Did you have your ultrasound?
I ended up not going in. Like, I canceled that morning because I was like, okay, I'm not going to do this yeah. month. I'm just going to wait. And I didn't want to like pay for an ultrasound and then not do it.
Yeah.
And then I like did the stuff everybody did, which is like, you know, I had already, when this whole thing started at the beginning, it felt really personal. Like everyone was still living their lives. And I was like, my movie premiere is not like happening. And like, this is horrible. I was supposed to make this other pilot for Showtime. Oh. I was like, my production's going to get pushed. Like, this is all, you know, it was all very personal and not as much about the world yet in my eyes. And then it quickly shifted to like, oh my God, this is so much more horrible. I'm like looking at this from a privileged place. I just need to be calm and do what I'm supposed to do. And and so I got there. And so for a couple of months, I was like kind of at peace. Like, I was like, this is what it's going to be. And then like you, I started just at the beginning of the month. I was like, I'm going to do a home insemination. Like, how long is this going to be? I was kind of angry about just the fact that like, if I was quarantined, like I had literally don't have access to sperm right now. I can't date someone and just try to get knocked up. I can't I was like, someone come quarantine in my house, something. Like, there was nothing that I could do.
Yeah.
So I was like, maybe I'll try that. And so that's when I emailed Dr. Chung, and this was like last week.
It's funny because that's emailed her too, saying that I was going to do it.
Yes. I emailed her and asked her, and she emailed me back right away because she's amazing. And
she's
she was
good at email.
Oh my God, she's so good. And she was like, hey, can I give you a call like in like an hour? I think we should just discuss this. So she called me and she basically said that, and I'm sure you know most of this stuff. She was like,
no, I'm curious actually.
Yeah. She was like, there's about a 3-5% chance that you'll get pregnant through IUI. Mm-hmm. And she was like, a lot of women are calling me about this. I totally understand that this is like, you feel really helpless. She said, I think if you want to do it, you can do it. But I don't think it's going to give us any information about your fertility. Like, I wouldn't count it like how we were going to do 3 IUIs. Like, she's like, I wouldn't count if it doesn't work, you can't say like that you're not still extremely fertile. It's like that's such a small chance. So she was like, but if it makes you feel better to do it, you can do it. And then she said, what I would recommend for you if you are frustrated and want to move forward is freezing embryos. What she said to me is that like, she doesn't know when the ASRM is going to lift this, because the main reason that it's existing is because there's not a lot of information about first trimester fetuses and what this virus does to them. So she was saying that, you know, we're seeing, it's looking like pregnant women, they have not much more of a higher risk than anyone else of COVID. And the babies that are born are seeming healthy and unaffected by this. But this is so new that all of those women were pregnant in their third trimester. So the organs, everything was cooked, you know, and it was all developed. So she's not sure if they're going to need to wait for, you know, people to get further along and have that we're in the first trimester before they lift this for IUIs and transfers or not. And so she's like, I just can't tell you if this is going to be able to happen this summer or if it could be longer. We just don't know what's going to happen. And she's like, so I would recommend this way. If it takes a long time, you have these embryos and they'll hopefully always be in their 30s.
Well, right.
my 40s.
Right.
So she's like, if you, you know, no pressure, but that is an option for you. And so I was just like, okay, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to do it. And, you know, I went to see her last week and she looked during my luteal cycle and she was like, everything looks really good. You know, she saw like 26 like a lot of follicles. Mm-hmm. And she was like,
that is a lot of follicles.
Yeah.
Jeez.
She's like, it looked good, but it's like that whole thing of like, I know I have a lot of follicles. I know my AMH is good, but those eggs are getting older and older. So who knows what, mm-hmm. you know, how healthy they are. So I started estrogen, like the estrogen patches.
Great.
3 days ago, when I saw her, and then I'll see, you know, when I get my period, I'll hopefully be able to just start. And my hope is that.
And
I
sorry to interrupt.
For my birthday, but we'll see.
Say that again. Your hope
well,
is what?
It's like looking like my transfer will be like,
oh,
right around my birthday. Right. So I'm.
No, not transfer. Retrieval.
Not my transfer. My retrieval. Yeah, transfer. Yeah. Who knows when that
who
will
knows?
Be? Who knows?
And also, they're not doing IUIs at the clinic right now, correct?
Correct.
Are they not doing transfers as far as you know?
They're not doing transfers or IUIs. So they're doing...
So there's kind of no point for me to come home for that reason.
Right. I mean, again, it could be
change.
Next month that they are. And that's the other thing, too, is that I do believe that there's, like, if we leave our houses too much and start partying again, there's going to be a spike.
For
and
sure.
And so there is a part of me, too, that was like, a lot of my friends were like, why do you want to do this? You know, wait till next month so you can at least enjoy your birthday and be able to drink and, like, all those things. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm like, I know that I can't control what's going on in the world. And mm-hmm. so if there's, like, a month that this is going to work both for my body and for the pandemic, I feel like I just need to jump on it. So
yeah. Well, this is great. I'm excited for you.
Yeah. Again, just like the movie premiere, I'm like, I guess it's a best case scenario and a worst case scenario. You know, it's none of it ideal. It feels really weird to be doing this without even knowing that I need to, you know, with like knowing that like if I were,
if you had
you know,
sperm on tap,
yeah,
you wouldn't.
Yeah.
You don't know.
Yeah, I just don't know. But it'll
you're
be nice
what you have
if
to
I
do.
Take healthy embryos to know that they're there and that's what you know I'm implanting, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of comfort in those things.
Yeah,
yeah.
Shoot, I wonder if I should do another retrieval. Okay, so I emailed Dr. Chung because I really need to start thinking about this more seriously. I said, "Hi, Dr. Chung, I just wanted to give you an update and ask your opinion on my next steps. I finally ovulated and the insemination was low-key and easy. I'm now taking the endometrin nightly. Oh, listeners, I forgot to tell you, I have leftover endometrin from last summer, and that's progesterone, and so I've started taking that. She gave me the okay on that. Anyway, okay, so regarding my next cycle, you said to call on the first day of my next period to find out if the clinic is doing transfers, but I'm in New York and trying to figure out when to come back to LA. If you're not doing transfers, I might not rush, but if you are, I would gladly come back to begin my transfer cycle. Do you have any inkling of when transfers will be starting again? I interviewed Jordana Malik on my podcast, and she let me know her plan to start a retrieval. I can't afford to do that right now, but if I push off my transfer and have no choice but to do IVF again, with credit cards, my eggs will be that much older. Does that bump my case up in terms of priority? Just so you know where I stand with everything, if I could do IVF or just do a retrieval right now, that would be my preference. And if my two frozen embryos don't work, I will try to figure out a way to pay for a retrieval rather than thawing the rest of my frozen eggs. Let me know what you think and if you have any thoughts on when transfers will start again. Thank you. And of course, she wrote me back. Hi, Molly. I'm glad to hear your insemination was low-key and easy. That's so great that you interviewed Jordana. I love her. Thanks for checking in about timing of transfers. It was just recently decided that we will be resuming embryo transfers in June. So if you're not pregnant from this insemination, we could start the process with your next period. Remember that I would need to see you on day 2 of your period for a baseline ultrasound. If possible, I would love for you to come back from New York sooner than later to allow for some quarantining in LA after the flight. there is still a lot of concern about allowing patients who have recently traveled by airplane into the office. The typical recommended quarantine after travel is 14 days. So then I wrote back to her and I wrote, oh my God, of course you don't want to see people right after they get off a plane. Lots to think about, but so good to hear about transfers. I'll mull it over and figure it out ASAP. Then I asked her this question. I said, if I continued endometrin a week beyond my expected cycle start, would that delay my expected cycle and buy me some time? Or would that be bad for my health? Is birth control an option? And, crazy thought, if I drove an RV across the country and had no contact with the outside world except for gas stations while wearing gloves and a mask, would you need me to quarantine? I love driving cross country and my parents keep trying to convince me to do that instead of flying, but I didn't actually consider this because I didn't think I'd have time. But maybe driving for 3 days saves me 2 weeks of quarantining time. She got back to that. She said, the endometrin may delay the start of your period by a few days, but it would come eventually. Birth control pills would be an option to keep your ovaries on pause until you could get back to LA and quarantine for a bit. Neither of these options would be bad for your health, and neither would impact your chance of a successful FET. Frozen embryo transfer. As for driving across the country, it's such a cool and crazy idea. I suppose that would be less risky in terms of COVID-19 exposure, so maybe it's an option to consider. But the mom in me worries about you traveling cross-country by yourself. Then I just got back to her and told her I'd think about it, and of course not to worry about me. I love driving cross-country. Anyway, so yeah, I've got to think about it. Last night, my dad said, Molly, please don't fly, because he read some article about it. So I told him I would put all of my energy into it on Tuesday after editing this podcast. So I'll figure it out. Wait, and so you have those eggs as well, those eggs that are frozen. I have those eggs, and those are your backups, as like I was doing.
Yes. Okay. Yes. So those are my backups. Those are for a potential second kid. Those are for if I meet a partner and decide I want to do this with them down the road. Like, for right now, they're backups.
Plan B.
When I called my mom and was like talking her through this, she's just worried. You know, she's like, no one's there. Like, I can't be with you. And they weren't here when I did it the first time. So it's okay. But now they know more. And so she was like, I thought that you were just going to use the eggs that we froze for you for your birthday when you were 35, you know? And I was like, no, that's the backup. And at this point too, like, I just have so many friends that have had all these scenarios that have gone wrong that I just know that even though right now all my numbers are good and I have a lot of follicles, that just might not mean anything. And it seems like I just want to keep as much backed up as possible.
Yeah. That's what it is. I think it's hard for other people to understand, but like, yeah. I really had a hard time sawing half, and
I know
I didn't want to do it. Glad I did.
Totally. And if I need to do that, I'll do that. And it'll be okay. You know, it's like, I think it's that whole thing of like mourning all the different things and every step, and it's okay. Like, everything was not what you initially planned. And I think, you know, I've watched so many friends that are really strong, like, accept each thing as they come and be open to things that I'm like, I don't know if I could do that, but we could do that. You'll be fine. You know, you'll be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that personally, I know that each step it's always so hard in it, but after I get there, my thought, you know what it is, and I can't explain it, so I'm just going to cut it.
I get it. Yeah. I get it. I do. I get it. It's hard. And it's so hard because, like, even though our journeys are similar in some ways, like, everyone's is a little bit different, and you have to be so careful because there's such a tricky thing with sensitivity. Like, I have other friends that are trying to get an embryo donated to them. And like, it was a long process for them to get there. And like, you just learn about being sensitive in a way that like you never think about before with this. Like, you just, it's all those things. Like, people talk about Mother's Day, and that like, all I've ever thought about is that I just celebrate my mom. I like send her flowers, and then it becomes a thing where you're like, there's people that are mourning their mother's loss. There's people that are mourning not being able to be a mother. There's people, you know, like, and so I think when you go through something like this, you just like, it's almost overwhelming of like the sensitivity that you need to have for other people that you didn't even think about, because until you go through it, you know, even when I told all my friends that I was going to probably do IVF this month of like my 40th birthday.
Yeah.
And all of their initial reactions were like, yay, like congratulations. And I'm like, no, I'm really upset. Like, I'm really upset. Don't congratulate me. This sucks. Like, we're in a pandemic and I like want to get pregnant and I can't even try. Like, it's horrible.
Oh, I feel you.
Yeah. Yeah.
The other side of it is feeling bad for the people that don't understand what you're going through or trying to control their reactions.
Right. Totally.
And people being excited for you, you have to be like, no, sorry, that's not how I want you to feel. You need to be chill. For me, it's like, you need to be chill because I'm trying to stay chill. So yeah. Calm the fuck down. It's totally. I'm not going to get pregnant from this. We're not going to talk about baby names and due dates if this works.
I know. It's so true. Like, you're like, you don't have all the information that I have, but like, I can't be frustrated that you don't have the information.
Yeah, it's not their fault. Yeah. They're trying.
No, I know. They're trying so hard. Everyone's trying really hard. Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you that you are beginning this, really your first attempt at making embryos. I think that's, I think you're allowed to be excited for that.
Yeah.
Even though I get that it's not ideal. Totally not ideal.
I mean, it's like, I think that there's the other little part of it, which is just that like, I haven't been sleeping because of the estrogen and like, it's only going to get like, I've been really healthy trying to like, be like, I'm going to have a prison bod during this like pandemic. Like I'm like exercising all the time and I like did a whole 30 and I'm like, but simultaneously like going to be shooting myself up with hormones that make you feel bloated and horrible. Like usually I get obsessive about feeling good on my birthday every year. So yes. I'm like, I do a whole 30 before, or I like run a marathon. Like I'm very obsessed that I'm like, I need to make myself feel good. Yeah. And now I'm like, I'm really choosing to make myself feel as miserable as possible, you know, leading up to 40. But my thoughts are that like, if I can make the end of my 30s bad enough, like 40 is going to feel awesome.
It's there you go. Nowhere to go but up. Wait.
Yeah, I think so.
Up is difficult.
Right.
So I don't know why they say that.
It's like the metaphor of like being on the floor at like rock bottom.
There you go.
Like
it can only get better.
Right.
There you go.
Get better. Yes.
It's not an uphill battle. That's something else.
Yes. Yeah, that's true. It's not an uphill battle. Well, are you going to be doing?
I did an insemination.
You did
yesterday.
It. You did it. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Congrats. Were you ovulating? I know
I was, yeah.
Okay.
I was. I don't know if the timing was absolutely perfect, but did the best I could. And, you know, I don't have high expectations at all. But it's 12:14. I mean, 9:14. So you have to go.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
You're going to see Dr. Chung.
I'm actually just going to get like stuff notarized there.
Okay, got it.
I'm not seeing Dr. Chung today unless I like see her. It's very weird. Just be prepared. It's like you get your temperature taken, you have to wear a mask, it was my first real outing. Like
I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. So it's very safe, but it feels weird because you're like alone and they put you right into the room and all that stuff. So
Wow.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Well, have fun getting your stuff notarized then.
Oh, thank you so much.
And when you do see Dr. Chung, send my love.
I will. I told her that I'd heard her on your podcast. I'm so glad we got to do this. And when you're back, we can become friends too.
Yeah, and I've got a big backyard too. You can visit my backyard.
Good. We'll do yard hangs.
Okay.
Keep me posted on when you decide to come back and if you have any questions.
Let me know about what happens with you and the embryo freezing. I'll be excited to hear about that. And good luck with the with the online premiere of Lovebirds.
Yeah.
So Netflix, Lovebirds, May 22nd.
Yeah.
Everybody watch it. I'm so excited to see it.
I'm excited for you to see it. Thank
the trailer is awesome.
It's really fun. I think it'll be a fun – I think it's a really fun quarantine flick. It's a great quarantine flick.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. And Kumail and Issa are like – they're so good together.
It's awesome.
So it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you so much, Jordana. It was so nice meeting you. And thank you so much for listening and being a Patreon subscriber. Okay, we got to go. We got to go.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Bye. That's it, everybody. Lots and lots to think about, not including the 2-week wait, which, like I said earlier, I'm not thinking about. But that may change as we get closer to day 10 or 11 or 12 or 13 or 14. No, I'm really not going to think about it. But whatever you do, don't message me or text me or call me and ask if I have any news. You'll just remind me about it. So tomorrow I'll put some major thought into the when and how of my New York to LA travel. Ugh, I don't want to leave my wonderful, loving parents. What if they need me? And I also don't want to be away from my LA home anymore, feeling like I'm not going after my dreams, even though there's not much I could be doing if I was there anyway. Oh boy. Well, we'll just see what happens. Thank you so much, Mom and Dad, for helping me thaw my sperm and not being weird about it. Thank you so much, Jordana, for being my guest. And thank you, Dr. Chung, for getting back to me. We just love you so much over here at Spermcast. All right, everybody. You know the spiel by now. Patreon.com/Spermcast. Oh, here's some news, you guys. While I was editing this, I posted on my Instagram page that I was $12 away from my Patreon goal. And since I posted that, we have gotten up to $850. You're off the hook. No, you're not. You're not off the hook. But we do have to celebrate. Woo! You got me to my goal. I'm not going to set another goal for a while, but like, don't quit me right now, everybody. $850 is great, but if a bunch of you start dropping out, I'm going to be really sad. And if you're still interested in becoming a Patreon subscriber, you will have access to all kinds of good content and you will be helping support this podcast. But I'm not going to harp on it anymore, at least for a couple weeks. Again, if you don't want to subscribe to the Patreon, you can Venmo Molly-Hawkey. Whatever amount you like, anything helps, even if it's a dollar. You can also help the podcast by rating and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts. And by the way, how are you doing? If you need somebody to talk to, I'm still here and I'm still doing my fertility consultations and I'm still loving it. My clients are still loving it. If you're curious and just want some information, please email me at spermcast@gmail.com. Have general questions, email me at spermcast@gmail.com as well. Or leave me a voicemail or text me at 323-741-1818. Find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Spermcast. Go to my website, spermcastpod.com, and that might be it. I love you all so much. Oh, happy 2-year anniversary, Spermcast. Great job. Hooray! It's been a great 2 years. We have been through a lot together. 19 potential donors, chose 2, alternated donors on 4 inseminations, got pregnant, had a miscarriage 2 months later, chose an anonymous sperm donor, did 4 IUIs, had 1 chemical pregnancy, did IVF, there were no normal embryos, had lots to ponder about mosaic embryos, did an embryo transfer, it failed, picked a new anonymous donor, thawed 8 eggs and made 4 embryos, transferred 2 fresh, untested embryos, froze the other 2, had a pregnancy of unknown location, had a painful miscarriage 2 months later, and now just did a home insemination with frozen sperm. But those are just events, not what I've learned from all of these events. And maybe what I've learned is way more important than what actually went down. I've gone through panic attacks and self-doubt. I've experienced loneliness and heartache, but I've never lost hope. I've discovered that I'm strong, that I'm not alone. I've learned to accept each step along the way. I've come to understand how difficult and painful this journey is for so many people, and I've made wonderful, wonderful friends. I've whittled away at what I really want out of life, and I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I want a family of my own. By any means, no matter what that family looks like and how it came to be. Now I gotta go downstairs and enjoy dinner with the family that I'm with right now, my mom and dad, while I still can. Oh, it's gonna be so hard to leave. Well, love ya. Bye, everybody.
He could be bald and bearded, shorter or tall, funny, smart, love basketball, from gay to straight, black to white, tiny eyes with an underbite, I just need sperm.
An Erios production.
Powered by Acast.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.